Welcome to the News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. We've got a lot of ground to cover, as usual, with my guest this morning, John Cozy. John is a retired philosophy and logic professor. He's now blogging on social, political, and economic issues. He taught for 20 years. He was a writer for another 20. All of his articles can be found on jcozy, K-O-Z-Y.com, and John Co- or, I guess, and or, johncozy.mindsay.com. And by the way, you can find all my articles on my blog. It's sjlindman.blogspot.com. I say the easiest way to find my blog is to just Google Steve Lindman blog, and you get right to it. I keep all my articles in chronological order. You can take a peek at my newest that just went up this morning, and all the others if you have a lot of time to do a lot of reading. It's been a while. It's taken a while to get them all up there. John, I welcome you to the program. It's great having you back.
Good morning, Stephen.
Oh, terrific. I hope you had a fine holiday. Mine was active. I did a lot of writing, and now I've got the rest of the week to get it all out before we have another holiday. And I'm sure I'll spend the next one exactly the way I spent this past weekend. But your latest three articles are great topics to discuss. And the one that grabbed me right off the bat is because I've mentioned it, and I'll mention it again in a new article that I'll finish up and get out planning for January. And you talk about the long decline of the American economy. Let me just mention that one of my past guests some weeks back, another professor emeritus, Gabriel Kolko, historian, we talked about his newest book that he calls World in Crisis, The End of the American Century, and he's pretty gloomy. In his book, he believes that the U.S. decline, he sees war as a great factor in the decline of this country, and he says it began during the Korean War. So he goes all the way back to the early 1950s, and he sees that as the beginning of the decline. He's a very distinguished historian. I have a hard time disagreeing with him, but talk about what you wrote about.
I just did what happened was that I saw a post on a tech site about measurement, and I was in that business for a while. For the last company I worked for, and it just seemed to me to be a whole bunch of baloney. So I put together this piece saying that in the 1960s there was a great hue and cry around the country for companies to adopt standards, and there are various of those, but the ones I'm most familiar with are the ISO, that is International Standards Organization. Documents that they put out, and those standards are pretty good if people want to follow them. But my experience with the companies that I worked for was that the companies weren't really interested in following them. They didn't really give a hoot whether they were producing high quality products and services. All they cared about was the bottom line, and consequently they implemented programs that not only were not likely to work, were in fact impossible to work. And that the decline of the American economy, from my standpoint, which very well could have gone back to the 1950s for all I know, it must have gone back because that's when the Japanese became active in producing high-quality products.
Oh, indeed. So, John, let me interrupt. That music means we need to take a brief break. You know the drill by now.
Yep.
Let's take that break, and we'll come back and hold your thought.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Talking about his article, The Long Decline of the American Economy. Let me let you pick up, John, where you left off.
Okay, I was just saying that my experience was that the only standard the American companies wanted to conform to was the junk. And I often point, one of the things that we were taught in training for ISO standards implementation was that McDonald's was a paradigm, that one of the things that you could always count on at McDonald's is that the hamburger you bought was the hamburger you expected. And when we told the rank and file employees that was a standard, they all scoofed. I mean, they said, what do we need standards and procedures and policies for that for? We're already producing junk. So, you know, it was an implementation that was bound to fail from the beginning. And the interesting thing is that it wasn't just going on in the 1960s and the 1970s and the 1980s, and it's still going on today. I read the other day where China is building a high-speed rail line on which trains will travel 320 miles per hour.
Oh, my goodness.
In America, we're still... we still have a 1945 rail system, with still diesel electric engines that were available during the Second World War. And right this morning, there's an article on the internet about the internet, how the lack of broadband in America, that in America, which began the internet and was once number one, has now shrunk to number 15th providing broadband to its people. American companies could do what China is doing, could do what Sweden and Japan are doing with broadband if they wanted to. They don't do it because they don't want to do it. They have no interest in providing quality services, quality products to Americans.
I think the only thing we excel in, John, and we're talking about the destruction of industrial capitalism in America, and this is a process that began probably back in the 1960s, exporting the country's industrial base overseas. So U.S. manufacturing, either with U.S. companies abroad or subcontracted to local operations, it's based in countries around the world, probably more in China than any place else, but going to all kinds of low-cost areas. So the only thing we excel in here at home, and I agree with you, the only thing these companies give a damn about is making a buck. And the less they can pay their people and the cheaper they can make their products, in plain English, the more they can screw their own employees and their customers, the more money they'll make. And they get every administration in Washington to go along with them. Doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. Obama is no different than George Bush for my money. And in some respects, I call him worse. The only thing we excel in is how we have transformed the country, John, into a financialized one run by the mega shysters on Wall Street. And they're the biggest grand thieves on the planet. And no matter how much they get, they want more, and they get presidents and congresses to go along with letting them do it. What kind of country is this?
Yeah, I compared the American financial industry to the Cosa Nostra. You know, and I don't understand why. Well, I do understand why they don't. But it would seem to me that the Justice Department could very well prosecute the whole bunch on the organized crime statute that was passed a number of years back.
Oh, the RICO statute.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, I said in my article, as a matter of fact, you know, to say something about what you were just talking about a minute ago, that when people talk about a rebounding American economy, they're whistling Dixie in the Yukon. There is no economy to rebound. It has been dismantled and exported. And you know, interestingly enough, yesterday I had a response to that article from a small businessman, and he said that he agreed with me entirely, and said that because of the way the American big business runs the American economy, he had to export his small business because he couldn't get contracts that were beneficial in trying to deal with bigger companies.
Well, the big ones, and again, the finger points, number one, at the financial, the entire fire industry, finance, insurance, and real estate. But I like to say headquartered on Wall Street, so I just call it all Wall Street. These people love financial crises, economic crises.
Of course they do.
So they keep manufacturing them. The one that broke in late 2007 didn't happen by accident. It was made in their boardrooms. And why do they love them? Because they want to get rid of competition. They want to buy other assets up at fire sale prices. And that's what they've been doing. And then they get all the free money they want from the government. The Federal Reserve, which is them, they are the Federal Reserve. I don't have to explain that to my listeners. They know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, seniors that may need a little interest income to live on, there is none anymore. You go to a bank and they'll let you open a bank account, but they won't pay you any interest on it.
Yeah, and you're lucky if they don't charge you a fee to manage it.
I think we're heading for that, John.
Yeah. A number of... maybe 2-3 months ago, I wrote an article that I entitled Mortgage Anyone. I didn't post it on Global Research. It's just on my site. But I started out by saying, has anyone ever wondered why mortgages or terms of mortgages are 15 and 30 years rather than 10 and 20 or 20 and 40 or whatever? And doing some research, I discovered that since the Constitution was adopted, we've had recessions in this country on an average of one every 14 years. And then I began to do a little calculation. With certain interest rates, like 6% interest rate on a mortgage, the mortgage lender gets its money back in less than 15 years. So if the lender, after 15 years, defaults on his loan, the mortgage company takes the house back, okay, has its money back, so it's not hasn't lost it a cent, okay, and then sells it again without having to risk any money. So that, you know, the more often it can take these houses back and sell them over again, it's risk-free investment.
And I think it's doubly risk-free, John, because when they do something that may be a blunder, they have the government back them up to get them out of whatever trouble they may get into. But part of their game is to keep us in debt, to keep their bigger customers in debt, smaller, bigger businesses, and to keep countries in debt. To be able to get extract as much revenue from them as possible. So we had last week I had Ellen Brown on earlier, Michael Hudson, he'll be back tomorrow, talking about the situation in small countries like Iceland and Latvia, where these countries are so deeply in debt that the only way they can do anything, well, the worst way they can get out of this is to follow instructions from the countries that want to keep them even more in debt, to sell off their productive assets, to privatize everything in sight, to drop all social benefits for their people, and to borrow these loan shock loans from the IMF.
But it's interesting that Greece and I think maybe even I think one of the Baltic countries, maybe it was even Latvia, have resisted accepting that, and they're saying that they won't do it.
I think there has been some resistance, but I think some of this is still in the air, John. I know the UK at one point threatened Iceland with being designated a terrorist state if they refused to repay their loans. But the people of Iceland, I mean, this tiny country, I think of the population, 600,000 or something, maybe smaller than that. It's pretty tiny. It would be a large Chicago suburb, something, or a medium-sized U.S. city. The people are in an uproar over this because the economy has absolutely collapsed. The interest, it used to be a middle-class country, but it's descending into serfdom at a very, very fast pace. The government was recently elected not too many months back. And it's possible that there will be enough uproar that the sitting government will be uprooted. And what's going to happen if that takes place, I'm not sure. But this is going on there. I haven't followed Latvia as closely, but I think there's great turmoil there. I know there's also turmoil in Ukraine under a U.S. stooge president put in power with an orange revolution. And this goes on in other countries as well, to literally extort all the wealth out of these countries, developing countries. I mean, literally suck them dry so there's nothing left but a hulk, and their people end up serfs, and then move from country to country, John, ending up in the developed ones, like America, like Western Europe, to suck all the life out of our countries and leave our people serfs. This is what these guys have in mind.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, what was it, Argentina a number of years ago put a stop to that simply by defaulting.
Exactly. And that's what we talked about last week. Of course, Argentina is a little bit bigger than Latvia and Iceland, but they did it and they got away with it. So why don't the others do it? Oh, another break, John. Let's take it and come right back.
Okay.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as 1-beta-prostate. And if you haven't tried beta-prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to 1 free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try beta-prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293. And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for 5 or 6 other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back. I'm with John Cozy. John, I think Argentina's case is very instructive. The country went bankrupt in 2000, but it basically told its creditors, mainly the U.S., to, I guess in diplomatic language, to go to hell. And they offered so much, so many cents on the dollar, and I guess when they'd be able to repay. Well, they challenged the powers and they got away with it. And the bottom line was that they had a couple of rocky years, but they came back so strong that for a number of years, I don't know how the economy is doing today, but for a number of years, at least until the late 2007 economic crisis broke, Argentina and Venezuela were the two fastest growing economies in Latin America.
Yeah.
Because they walked away from their debt.
Yeah. Yeah, and the new prime minister of Greece is making the same kind of threats. All the bankers in Western Europe are shaking in their boots.
Oh, I hope he's got the backbone enough to stick with it. Do you think he will?
Well, the Greek people are not shy about demonstrating in the street, so he'll have a difficult time not doing it.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I'm always impressed at what goes on in countries around the world, certainly in Europe, Greece.
Italy.
This goes on in places like South Korea that never gets any reporting in the U.S.
Yeah.
Media. I mean, their people are extremely angry about a repressive government. I've had one program on it. I plan another one in January. And the fact that their country has been occupied since the end of World War II. And they're not very happy about that.
Well, no. No occupied country is very happy for a
That's
very
right.
long time.
I mean, imagine if we had Chinese bases on U.S. soil.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, you know, we talk about Henry Kissinger has reported and said something like, the only way to bring peace to the world is through hegemony. But if you go back in history, hegemony has never brought peace. And every hegemonic period has been afflicted by numerous wars against the hegemony. So, it's just foolish real politic, and I can understand why Henry would do it. After all, you know, he came from Germany, but then still speaks German, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he was one of those rare displaced or maybe voluntarily departing Jewish Nazis. I don't know what else to call him.
Yeah, you know, the real politic is his field of interest. He's not interested in peace.
Oh, absolutely not.
But the point I'm making is that this business of trying to bring peace by war is as idiotic as, you know, trying to satisfy your thirst eating sand. I mean, it just ain't ever going to work, and I don't know why people don't realize that, but they don't.
Well, I think our agenda is to talk peace but always wage war. I have a major article in January, John. I'll quote Colco and some other people in it. But I talk about this country's permanent war agenda, and we certainly have had it in spades since the end of World War II. So we talk peace. I quote a famous historian, Charles Beard, I believe, who used the expression perpetual war for perpetual peace. And Gore Vidal picked up the title. He used that expression as a title for a book he wrote a few years ago, and we talk searching for peace and always needing to fight perpetual wars for it. The wars never end, and peace never comes. It's right out of Orwell.
Well, yeah, and that I mean, that's one example of a general tendency of American political speech. I mean, to say one thing and mean its opposite. I mean, you know, it's not only peace; it's consumer protection, which never protects the consumer. No, it's health care, which never provides health care for people. It's homeland security, which never provides any security. It's just a whole inversion of language that somehow or other has caught on among the political class and is not rejected by the media, who do the same thing nowadays. When words don't have any meaning anymore, then what's being said is sheer nonsense, and that's what we're living with.
Absolutely, and if it weren't for the way that the dominant media spreads this kind of misinformation, then people might have a better picture of what's going on. Too many people still get so-called news from the major sources that they should avoid, that they should realize that they're getting nothing there. But we have a terrible situation, and it seems to get worse and worse. And I think part of it you brought up in another article that has a title I'll let listeners think about for a moment, then we'll come back and we can talk about it, John. The American Kleptocratic Necrocracy, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about those dead folks that are running us, practicing no democracy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Galt. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. On with John Cozy. John, this Saturday I'll do something that I haven't done, at least in the, by the description that was given to me. I was asked to give a talk in what's called a webinar. It will be to online participants and to live ones at a conference in New York on the subject, the general subject of health and freedom. And I wrote a long 2-part article assessing Obama's first year, and I decided that that will be my topic to discuss, to try to get into things that I don't think other participants will cover. I guess they may if they get into the freedom side. I can't leave out the health side because I have to say something about the health care bill, both the one that passed the House and the Senate one. But overall, the whole package of Obama's first year is a pretty ugly situation. So that leads right into your American kleptocratic necrocracy. Explain what you wrote about in that article, John.
Well, you know, to get back to the, to relate this back to the comment I just made, I mean, the misuse of language in America is ubiquitous. People seem to have gotten the notion that a nation is democratic if people are allowed to vote for their leaders. But Americans didn't always think that way. During the Soviet Union, before the Soviet Union collapsed, the Soviet Union had regular elections.
Indeed.
And we never considered that democratic. As Stalin said, you know, it's not who votes that matter. That matters. It's who counts the votes that matters.
I was just about to get that quote in. It's a great line.
Yeah, but it's even more than that. It's not who votes that matters. It's who you're allowed to vote for that matters.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're not allowed to vote for anybody different, you're not ever going to get anybody different. And to call something a democracy simply because people vote is, of course, a sham. There's nothing democratic about it. Democracy originally meant, and still does, if you look at, you know, look at it from an etymological point of view, it means rule by the people. It doesn't mean vote people or whatever. It means rule by the people. And we're the Americans don't rule. the elite moneyed classes rule this country, whether they're elected or not. And anyhow, that was the basis of the article to begin with. I mean, we have gone to war. We went to war in 1914 to make the world safe for democracy, and it's sort of less safe today than it was then. You know, Hillary Clinton keeps talking about spreading democracy in the Middle East, and she vilifies Iran, but Iran has regular elections. I mean, what is she talking about?
And I think they have better ones than we do, John. They're not perfect, but I think they're better. They're closer to being real than ours are.
And I read a piece where a lady in India has, as a matter of fact, said that democracy. Let me see if I can find that quote for you.
Can I put your finger on that?
Her point was that
you're talking about Arundhati Roy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She does. She has an amazing way of expressing her thoughts.
Yeah. You know, people are, maybe not in America, but people around the world are getting wise to this. And Americans may be the last to find out what's going on,
and that's
unfortunate. But the rest of the world, is pretty fed up with capitalist industrial economy and American English style democracy.
John, let me quote you quoting Arundhati. And again, her amazing use of the language. She talks about listening to grasshoppers.
Yeah.
Field notes on democracy, saying that democracy has metastasized into something dangerous. And she argues that democracy in India, this is you writing, is not for, of, or by the people, but, quoting her, designated to uphold the consensus of the elite for market growth, which means, of course, no democracy whatsoever, either in India or in America.
Precisely, and that's the quote I was looking for. And democracy has metastasized into probably the most dangerous form of economic and governmental control the world has ever seen.
I do agree,
and you know that's why I called this piece American kleptocratic necrocracy, because we kill in order to steal. That's all there is to our foreign policy. We kill in order to steal, and unfortunately, We supplement that by bribing the worst governments in the world to support us. I mean, you know, when you give money to the Republic of Georgia, or when you give money to the government of Yemen, you're not promoting democracy in any sense of the world, and it's obvious, and yet nobody is willing to say it. And that's the difficult thing that we have to deal with.
Oh, absolutely. So we are supposedly in Afghanistan, John, to rout evil terrorists. We can give them whatever names we want. They're meaningless. Al-Qaeda, which is basically a CIA creation. The Taliban, well, I guess they could call themselves something else.
That's like calling some Americans Republicans.
Well, that's exactly right, and even what we call the Taliban, it's very loose. These resistance fighters, and I guess a lot of the people supporting them in Afghanistan, they will move from one side to another depending on who's most dominant in their area at any point in time. So if what was called, I don't know if it is anymore, but back in 2001, what was called the Northern Alliance, the opposition to what we call the Taliban, I guess people living in their controlled areas would be allied to the global, to these, what they were warlords, this alliance of warlords. Well, they darn well better be, or they'll be in the crosshairs. So the Taliban may become, and they have become, resurgent in most parts of the country now. So people will be supportive of them, maybe daring not to do otherwise, but also because they absolutely despise the occupation. And the real enemy of the Afghan people are the Americans. And why are we there? As you have been saying throughout this hour, John, it has nothing to do with bringing these people democracy. It's all about stealing. It's all about profits for the big corporations. And in Afghanistan, it's got another big thing that boils down to profits. It's about the drug trade. The Taliban routed the poppy growing, and that was one of their big sins. So the big thing now is flourishing in Afghanistan, restoring the poppy growing to feed the heroin trade. And Afghanistan alone produces more than enough to accommodate the entire world market demand for the stuff with a lot left over. And the profits from this get recycled into the major U.S. banks, and they make a fortune on it.
Yep.
So we're in Afghanistan to promote heroin distribution, John. Now, that's a wonderful way to promote democracy. I think that's really a wonderful way to do it.
I don't usually do this, but I watched part of 60 Minutes last night, and one of their correspondents had on an ex-CIA agent who went to Afghanistan and put together a group, special forces group that he commanded, and he was bragging about how effective his special forces group were and how the Afghan tribal leaders were easily threatened into joining our side or whatever. And the same day yesterday, I was reading on the internet where some American official said time is running out in Afghanistan. The Taliban is winning. They now have a government set up in 32 of the 33 provinces in Afghanistan. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with this lady who's interviewing this guy? Doesn't she know what's really going on there? it's that kind of nonsense that's shoveled into American ears day after day after day after day.
Oh, absolutely. And you would think people would wise up a little bit. We came to Afghanistan in October 2001. Well, it's practically 2010, and the situation there is much worse than it was when we first arrived. We didn't defeat the Taliban in 2001. They just dispersed to reorganize themselves and reemerge as they decided would be best for them. The way that's always worked for them through the centuries, you fight an invader by guerrilla tactics. Well, my God, they routed the Soviets. They know how bad it is. They routed the British over 100 years ago. They know how bad it is. And yet those damn fools are right back in there with us again. And can you imagine the Obama administration asked the Russian leadership to join our struggle in Afghanistan and send troops in?
Well,
can you imagine a harebrained request like that?
Somebody from NATO just asked Russian for helicopters. And, of course, they declined.
They declined the helicopters.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'd throw in a few helicopters. Can't imagine they're going to send their forces back in there again.
No. And the other thing that's interesting is that this huge organization that we call NATO, which now stretches all the way from the west coast of the United States to, you know, Turkey somewhere, halfway around the world, it's supposed to be an alliance where people share the burdens, but all of the countries in NATO except the United States share the burden with token donations. You know, they don't put their hearts into this or their troops into this. They sent 200 here, 150 there, maybe 1,000 from this country or that country.
While we're
sending 100,000 or more.
And there's more to come, John.
I mean, the idiocy of it is to think that these people are supporting us when they do that. They're just paying interest on a bribe. That's all.
Oh, indeed. So,
and that's all they're doing.
And it really is shocking in NATO. It is nothing but an offensive force, especially today. It has absolutely nothing to do with defense, and it's never really done anything defensively. When it's acted, it's always been in an offensive mode, and the one that pops to the forefront of my mind, besides what's going on now, was the absolutely horrific 1999 war against Yugoslavia.
Well, yeah.
It devastated the country, and the country is still devastated today because it was broken up. I guess that's where the term Balkanization came from.
Well, that's true. But you know, the contradiction that nobody points out is that we're quite willing to break up the Soviet Union. We were quite willing to break up Yugoslavia. But when two provinces want to secede from Georgia, Republic of Georgia, we recognize Georgia's borders. I mean, this kind of absurdity is too laughable to take serious, but Americans don't realize it.
I actually got on Russian TV a year ago last August when that U.S. stooge, Saakashvili, who's the president of Georgia, decided, obviously ordered by the Bush administration, to invade South Ossetia, one of them, a province, and another one, heavily populated by either Russians or people who for many years have been closely allied with Russia. It didn't matter that they were in Georgia when Georgia was part of the old Soviet Union. But when it dissolved, then they maintained their affiliation with Russia, as they had every right to do. So the Georgians invaded. The Russians got blamed for it. I wrote an article that actually got me on Russian TV in prime time. I never got a chance to hear it, John. I was interviewed in English for 30 minutes, commercial free, Sunday night, prime time, and then they translated me. I guess they translated me on the screen into Russian. I was dying to see a video with my lips moving Russian come out, but I never had the joy of seeing that. But I know they didn't change what I had to say because I was very supportive of their side.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the contradictions inherent in America, not only domestically, as I pointed out a few minutes ago by calling, you know, consumer protection that isn't, that's a contradiction. By calling, you know, something democracy that isn't is a contradiction. But our foreign policy is even worse. I mean, the people who we claim are allied with us can get away with doing anything they want, and the people who aren't allied with us can't do anything at all. And that is so obviously ridiculous that people all over the world recognize it, and they recognize that in the long run, this country can't succeed doing that and will fail.
It has to fail, and I know that's what Chalmers Johnson believes in his writing. He wrote a trilogy on how empires that overreach the way we're doing so extremely now, they all come to the same end. They dissolve. He sees that it may end up in our bankruptcy. I guess we continue to flourish because we print money like Bannon. But there's at least one writer I read who refers to this massive printing. We're turning dollars into toilet paper.
Well, yeah, it's worthless money. It's play money, monopoly money.
Monopoly money, exactly. Let's take another break, John. I'll let you wind up. Maybe you want to say something about Diane Sawyer.
There's something I want to say, but not so much about Diane Sawyer.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
To get some final comments from John Cozy. John, let me just say that your articles are terrific, and they make wonderful material to have me get you back on air to discuss them. So keep them coming. I know you will, and we'll get you back on in the new year for another good discussion. And one more thing, so I don't forget, I was asked by Republic to say on air the time of my program. For those who listen through archives, well, this program airs daily at 10 a.m. U.S. Central Time, and you can access the archives through Republic Broadcasting. And Republic, John, is a wonderful venue to let people like myself on this program get out real information, the kind of stuff that's impossible by the Diane Sawyers of the world working for ABC News or any of the others. But I'll let you finish up with some final thoughts.
There's something that I've been thinking about for a while that I'd like to get to air. That, you know, there've been a lot of stories recently about school boards and other groups, public groups around the country that have got suckered into bad financing for various kinds of projects. And yesterday I was reading about Cincinnati that was suckered into a bad financing project for the new stadium for the Bengals and the Cincinnati Reds. And everybody seems to take the view that the only thing they can do is cut public services in order to pay off this debt. And it occurred to me that that's the wrong way to do it. I don't know how to get this out to the people, but have they ever heard of ostracization and vilification? What people could do in all of these cities is you know, print up on their computers a little flyers with the pictures of the miscreants on them, saying, you know, like something, wanted for theft, and publish the names, addresses, phone numbers, and everything else you could find out about these people. Put it on these posters and put it on the internet where people could download them and post them all over their communities to vilify and ostracize the people who have pulled these stunts on these communities. It wouldn't be violent, it wouldn't cost a lot of money, and could be very, very effective in making their lives very difficult.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea, John. Some years ago, and I have the book and I've read it, I forget the author, but there was a book written about this stealing of public money for these stadiums. The book was called Field of Schemes. Indeed it is. You get public tax money to build stadiums for corporations. I mean, imagine a small businessman trying to get public money to build a small factory or something. I mean, the only way to get the money would be go out and rob a bank.
But my thought was really, you know, you don't have to resort to violence, or you don't have to take it either. How are these people going to live happily with their money in communities where their pictures are pasted all over the place as a miscreant? Where everybody knows their phone numbers and you can bombard their businesses with sorry, wrong number calls. You can make life miserable for people like they have made life miserable for us. And I don't know how to get this message out to people, but I thought maybe a little bit of talk about it on this program might help.
Oh, and we can do it again on a future program, John. The more we expose these bandits, the better off the good people they exploit will be. Oh, we are out of time. It goes much, much too fast. John, again, my great thanks for coming back. I look forward to having you back again, of course, in the new year.
Okay, you're welcome, Stephen. I'll look forward to it.
Thank you, John, and a happy holiday. Happy New Year to you and to my listeners. And stay tuned for Ernie Hancock.
With recent internet.